Hey, New Life. I hope you're enjoying our journey through the life of Jesus. And again, I just want to encourage you to really lean in to every day's teaching and devotional, but most importantly, look for opportunities how you can be implementing what you're learning every day in your family, in your work, and in our community. Today, we're going to continue talking about the three pillars of Jesus' faith. We find them in Matthew chapter 6, and we've seen already the first two pillars, charity and prayer. Today, we're going to talk about the third pillar, fasting. So let's read in Matthew chapter 6, verses 16, 17, and 18. And when you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. As we spoke about from the outset of our journey into Jesus' three pillars, these are the three principal behaviors that he outlines for his followers. It's not only important, the three, but the order of the three. As we stated, charity is preeminent for him. But then we also find prayer, and now we're going to talk about fasting. We think of fasting as keeping ourselves from eating. And yes, that was a part of biblical fasting. But the question we need to explore is why did people in the time of the Bible fast? We find people fasting already in the Hebrew Bible, Old Testament. Why do they do that? They not only would not eat, but they often would put sackcloth and put ashes of dust from the ground on their heads. Why? Because fasting is ultimately about repentance. Really, that is what fasting is about in the Bible. And the way that you repent is you humble yourself. You turn from your current behaviors to God. You remove your fine garments. You even put dust and ash on you. And the entire purpose of this is to humble yourself and show God that you are serious about changing your ways, because ultimately you want him to respond a certain way to you. So when Jesus talks about his disciples fasting, he's really talking about repentance. And today we want to explore a little bit, what did that mean, not only for Jesus, but actually where we begin to hear the call of repentance in the New Testament is in Jesus's forerunner, John the Baptist. All four Gospels associate a passage from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, with John the Baptist. A voice cries, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord." We find John's father, Zechariah, in Luke chapter 1, at the birth of his son, predicting that his son is going to go before the Lord to prepare his way. When we read that about John, we often think that that means that John himself was the one preparing. But we forget that in Isaiah 43, the passage that all four Gospels use to describe John, the verb prepare there is not the singular. John's not the one preparing the way. Rather, it is a plural verb, meaning that the people prepare the way of the Lord. We actually see this articulated even more clearly in Luke chapter 3, where we find the preaching of John the Baptist. And he tells the people, do not begin to think and say that we have Abraham as our father, meaning they're ultimately saying that we're okay because we're of Abraham's seed. Because he then says, I tell you that God can raise up from these stones children for Abraham, rather bear fruit that befit repentance. Understand something very important. In the Bible, repentance has nothing to do with "I'm sorry." Repentance is about changing your behavior. And John is going to call the people to do that. Bear fruit that befits repentance. He then is going to go on and instruct them what that looks like. To the one who has two coats, let him give to the one who has none. To the tax collectors, he says, do not defraud. To the soldiers, he says, do not extort money. In other words, the way that you bear the fruit of repentance, according to John, is how you live your life in relationship with others. And John is going to prepare the people for God's coming, for God's Messiah, Jesus. And he calls upon the people to serve a role. Now, I want to come back to this idea that he calls the people to do this. Because repentance and fasting in the Bible is not an individualistic activity. It's not just something that I do for me, myself, and I. Understand one of the major differences between our cultural world in the Western America that we live in is we tend to focus in our spirituality and in our faith very much on our own individualism. How does this impact me? What does God want from me? What can God do for me? But understand, in the Bible, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, the we is always more important than the me. And therefore, whenever we hear these ideas about fasting, about repentance, it was about the community coming together, and that them, by their changing of their behaviors, we're calling upon God to act redemptively on their behalf. We see this, for example, in Isaiah 58. And you'll remember we encountered Isaiah 58 already when we talked about the gospel according to Jesus, because Isaiah 58 is the text that he sews into his citation of Isaiah 61. What is Isaiah 58? The setting of Isaiah 58 may even be the most holy Jewish day of the year, the day of fasting, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Nevertheless, the people have been fasting. They've been denying themselves food. They have been putting on sackcloth and ashes, but their cries have not had an effect on God. And so God, through the prophet, says to them, is this the fast that I have chosen, to disfigure your bodies, to put on sackcloth and ashes? Or rather, is this not the fast that I have chosen, to clothe the naked, to open your doors and your homes to the homeless, to care for those who are sick? When you do this, then your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. In other words, the prophet is saying, you're doing all the mechanics of fasting right. But the reason why God isn't responding to you is because your behaviors towards those around you have not changed. Let me ask you, New Life, is sometimes when we go to fast, even when we fast as a church, is sometimes our fasting not effective because our behaviors are not changing? Jesus expected that the fasting of his disciples would bring about corporate repentance, and that God would respond to that corporate repentance. This idea of repentance is big in the teachings of Jesus. In fact, we find several parables that Jesus is going to tell with the main theme of get ready, Be ready, because you don't know the hour when your number is going to be called. We see this in several parables in the Gospels, where he will talk about a master coming when the servants don't expect it, or a master preparing a banquet and sending his servants out to invite the guests in, but the guests are not prepared. Or also the story of a wedding, where the 10 virgins are waiting for the bridegroom to return, and he returns late in the night. 5 have enough oil because they were prepared. 5 do not because they were not prepared. One of Jesus's Jewish contemporaries, a sage like Jesus, was fond of saying to his disciples, "Repent the day before you die." Well, the obvious question that everybody would ask in that moment is, well, who knows the day of his death? To which he would respond, "That's right. Therefore, repent every day." Jesus's parables that we talked about, they are illustrating the fact that people need to be ready through their repentance, because life is fragile and none of us know that moment when we are going to meet our Maker. Are you ready? How do you make yourself ready? By living a life of repentance. Again, this doesn't mean walking around in a life of guilt. That is not repentance. But repentance means daily orienting ourselves, submitting ourselves, humbling ourselves to God, His will, and His commands. Do we do that? That's what Jesus is calling upon His disciples to do. That's what John the Baptist was preparing the way for. Because you see, one of the things that we find throughout the Bible is this idea that the repentance of the people moves the hand of God. We, of course, remember the very famous verse of scripture from the book of 2 Chronicles. "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land." Jesus's contemporary sages understood that their humbling was fasting, repentance. And that is what he is expecting of his disciples, to live a life of daily submission to God. He expects that you and me will daily walk in a period of circumspect humility before God. And there are even going to come times where we need to come together corporately and prepare the way of the Lord. But notice what he says in Matthew 6, verses 16, 17, and 18. We don't go around disfiguring ourselves. We don't go around drawing attention to what we're doing, because ultimately fasting and repentance is about the changing of our behaviors. If we're going to fast, don't just stay off food, although that can be part of it. If we're going to fast, we need to identify those behaviors in our life that need to change, that are creating a barrier between us and God. So now, all the way back 2 weeks ago, I asked you to write on a piece of paper what your list of 3 spiritual practices were. We've now learned about Jesus's 3 pillars of faith. How does that list that you wrote need to adjust in order to align with Jesus's 3 pillars? And most importantly, how do our behaviors need to change to make us more in line with His pillars of faith, because that is the pathway to redemption and preparing the way of the Lord. Thank you.